and a college person can have that. Mm-hmm. I mean, the feeling that time is approaching the timeless can start in your teens, I guess.
It certainly can.
Right.
You've heard the phrase, and we said it earlier, something is as slow as Christmas. You're waiting on Christmas, and it just never comes. But you get to be 90 years old, and you've had one Christmas, and you go to bed and get up the next day, it's Christmas again.
That's right.
It seems to move faster, but it's not really moving faster. Your perspective has increased.
So
that's another proof that there is no time, because it's relative.
Yeah. So the suggestibility of suggestion is the interplay of what you receive and what you suggest to someone else and how much you're subject to their suggestion. That is the rhythm and cycles and timing and tactility of existence, of spans.
Yes, with one little caveat, if it's appropriate.
Yeah.
Now, this isn't the best example, but it's a caveat, so you'll get it. It's amazing that your mother would say, don't hang out with the wrong crowd.
Right.
Because, and you go, oh, Mom, no. I'm enlightened, and I'm just going to enjoy my time with them and let them see the light. I'm going to help them, and that never works that way. What happens is instead of you helping them, they end up running you into the ditch. Isn't it interesting that a man and a woman will get married, and the woman marries the man, knowing in her heart that she's going to change that man?
Right.
And works all of her life, maybe happily in a marriage, but never changes the man.
Right.
Now, the man marries the woman because she's beautiful, and she's got perky breasts, and she's wonderful to sleep with, and she's beautiful, and her hair's gorgeous, and her skin is ivory, and her figure's like a Marilyn Monroe Coke bottle, and he wants her to always stay the same.
Yeah.
And from the time they marry, the first thing that happens is she immediately starts changing.
Mm-hmm.
Isn't that interesting?
Yeah.
And the men folks don't want their brides to change, and the brides are a full knowledge that they're going to change their husband into what they want. That's pretty good.
Yeah, so that's the tactile interface where the frustration of what one side of the suggestibility spectrum expects is going to be undermined, and so is it going to happen to the other, and you got to make the leap of knowing there's two conversations going on. You got to make the perspective that that's what's happening.
Exactly.
Then you're balanced about it.
Exactly. And then once you come in the place of never holding another human being responsible for your happiness, you can be happy with the same bride or husband, whichever it is, and be happy with them all the days of your physicalness. And it's so fabulous.
Right. So what is another word for tactility?
Contrast.
Oh yeah, contrast is tactility. Yeah, so the marriage relationship is contrast. You're going to change them, and you don't change them if you're the woman, and the man wants the woman not to change, and she's going to contrast by changing.
Exactly.
So that's a good point. Contrast is the same meaning as it's the resonant interval, the mixing it up, the back and forth, going nowhere but changing, that doubleness. That is contrast.
Contrast is the culmination of a tactile environment.
Right. And your intensity of contrast is dependent on how you refuse to see that.
Or that you embrace it and give it your undivided attention. That will also set the same mode of contrast or tactility.
Yes, and that might create a lot of non-flow. See, so people get over allergic to contrast. Others don't. I was suggesting the ones that are allergic to contrast, they don't have a tactile interface with it.
Correct.
But that helps others experience tactility.
It does indeed. And by that example, you see, because everything that you see with your eye, you go, well, you know, people would say, well, you can always find someone worse off than you are. And you can. But the worst off ones of all of you are the ones that seem to be the happiest and the easiest about it all. They were just sort of easy with it. They don't have a house to worry about. They don't know when they're going to eat tomorrow, and they don't worry about it, and it just works out for them. And they're just bebopping along, having the very best that is. It's
right.
Just easy.
So,
contrast does not have to include responsibility.
Right. So,
boy, that's a mouthful.
Right. So the hypnosis and suggestibility interplay.
Now you're gonna have a time with hypnosis with us, because hypnosis is nothing other than having suggestions filed within your level of subconscious filtering.
Right. And there's the
some people are not hypnotically inclined. Or a hypnotist cannot make a human being do something outside of their pre-suggestibility.
Right. Walter Board felt he discovered that they could hypnotize people with drugs and that to do things that when a guy...
That's not hypnotism. That's dulling the sensory perception. They just do things that they're not cognizantly aware of. Hypnotic conditions that the open place of someone who is what you call easily suggestible, and you place thoughts, you place concepts, you place ideas in their subconscious, and if it doesn't break their rules, then it can be a state of, oh yeah, I can drive a race car. Oh yeah, I can stop smoking. Oh yeah, I can fly. Oh yeah, I can be great in business. Oh yeah, I can lose weight. Oh yeah, I can balance my emotions. And in a hypnotic state. Oh yeah, I can remember my childhood. And see, all these places are just where they're just basically reinforcing the suggestion, so then when it comes along in their physicalness, they have an easier time embracing this preset suggestion into there and not push against it, because it's now been filed in the fulcrum of the mind. So when the sifting occurs, it's not a foreign thing. So they have no problem with it. And the fears of being afraid to fray, being afraid.
Mm.
Now the afraid has been stopped from raveling, but doesn't unravel, so then they can embrace it simply and can have it into their experience that they embrace. And if they embrace it, then it can become part of their unrealized creation, which is indeed created, which means it's no big deal. Isn't that what we talk about when we say the next logical step? Isn't the same question answered when we say, what is the fastest path to your joy?
Yeah.
Very perfect, Bob. My God, you're just spot on tonight, Dad.
Yeah. Yeah, so the thought just before that was, you have the mind, the fulcrum filtering, but it can have subconscious parts.
It always does, yes.
But that is not the non-physical. It's not the father, son, the ghost would only have an unconscious in the mind part, which is, I think, the
non-physical part.
So we're saying the unconscious does overlap. That's where the ghost, the mind is the ghost, and father is non-physical, son is the meat sack.
We don't like it that way. It's because it can be. If you did an exegesis on that description, you'd lose folks. Let's say it this way. Let's say that the physical, the meat sack part,
yeah,
that's
Okay.
Okay. And let's say the Holy Ghost is the non-physical.
Right.
And when the Holy Ghost gets together with the Father, then there's a union, then you have a son. And that son then becomes the mind and the balancing of that physical and non-physical. See, that's what they say about Jesus, is that he was God's son, and he came into physical, but he was the king and created in the image of the Creator God. So therefore, he was the perfect union of non-physical God and physical God. That's how they describe it. And in that place, you see, it makes it much simpler because Jesus then was the Holy Ghost and the Father, and the Son was Jesus, which becomes the mind.
Yes, and the couple months ago, we had it backwards. We had it lined up differently.
Father. Well, it's just, and it doesn't matter. It's just to make it smoother so you wouldn't get lost in the translation.
But
either way, it's okay.
I remember that the Father and the Holy Ghost can mix it up. You know, this was said a couple months ago. So that is perfect because it doesn't matter if the Holy Ghost and the Father, which is the physical, non-physical, which is the non-physical and physical. Okay. But the mind is in the middle, balancing the interplay of the physical and infysical, or controlling it or accepting it.
It's ice time. Just a second, Bob, because it's going to...
Yeah.
I guess we ran out or whatever, but it's gone very raspy on us here. We're sorry. We never want to distract, but we just must have hydration.
I think we should end soon, but the...
Okay.
But let me just say the... it's better, the image of the Holy Ghost is better aligned with the non-physical, because it is the Holy Ghost. And
it's just, folks won't push against it, because people don't understand what the Holy Ghost is, and they don't understand what non-physical is. So if you leave both of those in that same archetypal body, they can sort of steer it over there until they can embrace it a little at a time.
Right. Now, why don't they understand what the non-physical is?
Because they haven't seen it.
They haven't seen the science.
And you know those from Missouri, you've got to see it to believe it. Well, no, you've got to believe it to be able to see it.
Okay, so if seeing it has diminished now, we have a more tactile reality, the eye has been brought into harmony, what would be the new limitate, the new alibi for not understanding the non-physical? I can't feel it?
No. It would be you have moved further away from the vortex of your embracing a concept, an idea, or a mean.
Yeah, I'm saying that before you had to see the non-physical, the Missouri syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
Now, supposedly people today aren't as visual. It's not as a marker. So I'm saying, I'm assuming that they don't get the non-physical today, but it's not based on seeing it or not seeing it. It's based on another sensory matrix.
Feeling it.
That's what I said. I said feeling it, and they can't feel it. They want to feel it. And then you described it a second ago about the disconnect ratios of non-feeling.
Yes. That numbing themselves. When you numb yourself, you move yourself further away from the vortex of your embracing a non-physical relationship. But if you're close to that vortex, closer, you have a simpler, easier, it's a shorter path, a faster path to your joy, which allows you to then seamlessly engage. And when you engage, then what happens is it becomes more cohesive. And we'll give you the easiest example in the world. You can't see the wind.
Right.
But you can feel the wind.
Yeah.
And does, like it blows the trees or the fronds on the palms or the leaves on the trees. You can see the effect of the wind. And you can even embrace the wind, meaning like fly a kite or parasail or something. You can then bring into the feeling place of vindicating that the wind is. Same thing with what you call the Holy Spirit or the non-physical. You can't see it, but you certainly can feel it.
Right, and the thinning of the veil
makes it easier for you to feel it.
Yes, but and the thinning of the veil is the wind felt today through the solar eclipse, the magma shift, the clouds being seen. All these effects are showing that the thinning of the veil is happening.
That's correct, because the creators are actually invoking that through their creation, realized creation process.
Because they know it's 13,000 years later.
Because it was described and set up as a suggestion in the post-hypnotic world, and everything else has fallen away, and everything that everybody knew to be John 3:16, the Gospels, is now turning out to be, in their experience, a bunch of hooey.
Right, even the death of Michael Jackson shocks the conventional bear, because they thought he had everything, yet he ends up having a short life. That has an effect on people's psyche about being the king of pop, right?
Indeed, and the power of the papacy.
The power of the... Now, how does the papacy come into that?
Well, because the Pope ain't as powerful as he used to be.
Right, and...
Because people aren't embracing it.
Yeah, you're not connecting... I thought you were connecting that to Michael Jackson.
No. There's another example.
Another old star, an old celebrity, is not powerful either, as well as the new celebrities. But Ion said the other day that the Vatican knows a lot.
Sure.
But it's kind of like an Illuminati, but it is not congenial to having it be democratized.
But it's
for whomsoever will.
Whosoever will. Yeah, and here's interesting. Here is the church that tells you how to pray, tells you what to believe, tells you how to pray, tells you to whom you should confess, tells you how you're supposed to live, saying this is right and this is wrong, and this sends you to hell and this sends you to heaven, and this is this and this is. And now there's a change in the air. Now the Pope gets up and says, alien technology and alien beings should certainly be embraced. Well, that's way different than the Peter that we knew that started Catholicism.
Yeah.
Because that meant that you were worshiping the devil. And now it's changed to embracing it.
So it will stay a viable institution because
they're trying everything they can do to hold on to their threshold of power.
Even become, they're like a tetrad, becoming their opposite, maintaining their, and that is a pretty well futile endeavor.
Well, we would answer that by asking the question, and to ask it specifically to them, with what you're doing right now, how is that working out for you?
Okay, and on that, I am complete.
You might get a CD out of that.
Yeah, I think we got a pretty solid, straightforward, clear couple hours there.
A nice flow.
Yes, very nice.
Very wonderful. Thank you so very much. We have enjoyed playing more than you'll know. And the love, just like the wind blowing on a cool breeze on a warm day, is full and it's fulfilling as the love that can be felt from the emotions of your process of becoming.
Thank you.
And we are complete.
Okay.
Okay.
I'm here.
All participants are now unmuted.
Did you guys notice he said, Bob, that's not the Peter that we knew.
Yeah.
I knew St. Peter way back there, 2000 years, me and Ion.
Yeah. That was great, Bob.
That was good.
Wow.
That's the early
Trinity.
Yes. Holy Ghost.
Trinity explanation is really, really different. Yeah.
When you're fucking somebody, depending which sex you are, you're fucking the Holy Ghost. And then you produce.
I always wondered, Bob.
Yeah, they seem like that. And then you produce something, which is your mind, which then balances the parents. So the son rules the parents, like he started off saying, the kids rule the parents.
Yes.
Sad but true, Bob. Sad but true.
Yep. Did you have any kids, Nick? I guess you did.
I've got two, Bob. I've got two, a boy and a girl.
Did they end up saying fuck you like all kids do and go on and live their own life?
Nah, they had too much freedom, Bob. They knew that, you know what, they kind of were in a place where they could come and go and do what they like, obviously with certain limitations, but that was more the limitations they imposed on themselves. But they're both very beautiful, balanced people, and yeah. So you
actually did your parenting pretty close to the way it should be done.
Well, Bob, I started off by saying, you know what, we've got these two kids, and what's the fastest way that we can get them independent? And that kind of worked really well, you know. So they were cooking, you know, light meal in the morning. You know, they could make egg and bacon or whatever by the time they were five. And, you know, it was just good, you know, general stuff that, you know, if you could see that they were independent from the day that they came in here, that would make life a lot easier. So, yeah, I think we did a fairly good job. I'm sure, you know, just looking at their own life experiences, that they would agree. I mean, they've gone on to do what they really love to do. My daughter's finishing off her final exams at the moment for her matric. So she's under a lot of stress and strain to kind of get all those distinctions that she wants, because she wants to go and study law and business and all those things, which is kind of pushing me into the relax and allow. You know, there's nothing I can do to stop that, although from having spent time with you and the archives, I know that that's really not going to serve her in time or in the future, or even now. But that's what she wants to do. So she's going
to. Yeah, but see, you have to look at what she wants to do. What's that line? We prepare very carefully, and then life gives us other things. She may meet the people that lead to what she wants to do, really, through those institutions. So don't expect, don't assume that you know where it's leading.
Mm. No, I don't. I don't ever.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I must say, you know, when I listen to Ion, I think it just reinforces. I mean, my brother, I've got three younger brothers, and they're very much into do this, don't do that, don't fall off the cliff, this and the other. And his kids have spent more time in hospital and doing all sorts of strange things. Then, I mean, I sometimes think, what the hell? I mean, you know, it's bizarre. I think if my kids have seen the inside of a hospital twice, and that was once when they were born and twice, second time was for some other strange anomaly, it's a lot. So, you know, yeah, I think if you push against, you know, the whole thing, you land up with kids that I think are dysfunctional, that they don't know how to think for themselves. They're being told
that's your dogma. You and your fucking dogma. Fuck the dogma. You don't know nothing. Just stay out of their way.
I know nothing. Absolutely fucking
nothing.
Well,
okay. So, are you going to re-listen to the deja vu so you can figure out what was said?
Yes.
Very much yes. The whole clip.
The whole thing, right. And now, Roxy, the beating, the music, the speed up, is that jibe with your musical experience? or was it too simple?
Again, what did you say?
The part about music and the beats and the speeding up and slowing down, does that jive with your understanding of music, or was I saying something odd?
Oh, I think I missed that, but I suppose it's correct.
I didn't know you can't say that. You fell asleep again.
No, I got distracted because I found the PDF of the Morning of the Magicians.
So you're reading that.
I was opening the thing.
Yeah, so you missed the talk about metronome, rhythm, music, and time. That's what you missed. Your stuff. So,
yes, but I suppose it's right.
No, you listen to it someday.
Yes.
But you won't. You're too independent. You don't listen to anybody. You're barely civilized. You're barely show up.
No, it's I'm really connecting so many dots that I'm just into that.
Yeah. Okay, so
having fun playing that.
All right, let's play another thing. This is a different kind of stuff. Pretty good. This is I mentioned solar flares, so it's going to go from the solar flares into July 22nd, 2009. So this session is the day before July 21st. And what is it we're doing here? I'll bring it up here. 95, I think it is. Yes, 95. Okay, so this is a completely different bunch of information, which you should find interesting. Okay, so volume. Mute.
All participants are now muted.
Okay, this is session number 95 for July 21st, Marsh McLuhan's birthday, July 21st, 2009. And it is, for Bob and Carolyn, it's 5:11 p.m. Hawaii time. Greetings, Ion.
Good evening.
Good evening. Just 45 minutes away from good morning.
Yeah.
So, Ion, I think you asked Carolyn that you'd like to talk about the solar eclipse and the quaking coming tomorrow before we go into melting titanium.
Yes, that's perfectly fine, and actually, the place where you are is a good enough place to start. Not necessarily that exact direction. The where are you now? And let's start from there, and we'll get you to the sunspots.
Well, you mean where I am in my mind, not
sure.
Maui.
Well, please yourself.
Does Carolyn have any questions, since I didn't know about this? Okay, so the Indian...
Oh, my stars, Bob, questionless. The universe has ceased, and that's what we need to talk about, is the ceasing of the universe, the uncreation mode. So it really is as bad as we've described. It's already started with the lunar eclipse of the solar... synoptic solar flares. It stopped the universe. Bob is questionless, so we would be complete. We can go back to the beach.
Okay, so the how come astrology doesn't affect people, but solar flares do?
Okay, well, now we're not going to activate. We'll discuss this thoroughly.
Yes.
But we don't want to activate it.
That's
because
right.
You activate it and then someone gets a hold of it for as little as a minute, then all of a sudden it becomes a creation.
Yeah, you mean activate the quaking or whatever.
The thought process.
Yeah, that.
See, the gloom and doom side, you can make gloom and doom. That's how you create by default many things in your experience. But you're not asking that. We're just clearing it up just a bit.
Yeah, I'm asking how do these,
yes.
How do they, why do they affect us?
Okay, because every object, including you, every creation on this planet, this particular planet, has a magnetic field. Everything on this planet has a molecular field. There is no thing on this planet that does not have a molecular weight. Now, it can be very, very small, but it has a molecular weight. And that molecular weight sets the cadence of its proportion to other outside sources. Otherwise, we'll give you a simple example. If the sunshine shines on something, it will warm. If the sun's rays are warm, okay? Now, it can change things. For example, if you take a big glob of ice and you put it out on your lanai in the sunshine, it won't be long until that ice will turn into water. But the ice still has a magnetic field. Hello? Hello?
Yeah, we're there. I'm in the bathroom.
Sure. Oh, good. Okay, because we thought you were waiting on more examples, but we were waiting, and then it got real quiet, and it's like, uh-oh, he pushed the green button.
No, I'm okay. Molecular
okay,
weight.
Good.
You started off with everything has a magnetic field, then you went to molecular weight. Is that the molecular and the magnetic intertwined?
They are the same, and it's just the molecular weight is what scientists pick up on and acknowledge. Magnetic fields and sometimes pulses. That gets a little more in your quantum physics that sometimes your scientific community can have capacity to push against. So that's why we brought both in, so you'd have some strand to connect to.
Yes. So why do they push against it? Because it's pretty hard to measure.
No, Bob, it's just like the microwave oven. They don't know about it until someone creates it. Then everybody has to have one.
Right, so molecular weight is more of a theory?
No, molecular weight is understood of matter. Every object has
yes.
a molecular weight.
So how does that get into the quantum stuff?
Because that's not about that. What that's about is the magnetic field.
Oh, the magnetic field they're prickly about.
They don't understand it yet.
I see.
Tesla did, but they don't.
And Tesla was a numbskull as far as mechanical invention, yet he was smart on what level? How come he understood magnetic, but others who are probably good inventors or whatever they think they are?
Well, now, don't confuse inventors with good businessmen.
Is Tesla a good businessman?
No.
He's an inventor. The businessmen are the ones who stay are
good inventors because their inventions make it off the cutting room floor.
Those are businessmen. Yeah, you just said the good businessmen are good inventors.
If they're good inventors, the best inventors are the ones who are good businessmen because their inventions make it off the cutting room floor. They don't get squashed. They don't get pushed aside. They don't get buried. They don't get bought up.
Okay, but I was thinking you brought in businessmen because they're 100 years behind everybody, and they're not accepting a magnetic field like Tesla understood it. Like, why?
Pretty much, and Edison didn't embrace it because he didn't see it making him any money.
Hmm. So what did Tesla understand about the magnetic field?
How that every field has a preference is the better way to say it, not preference. electricity within the magnetic field. So therefore, electricity could be created, and a whole town could just receive electrical current through the air.
Well, that's what he thought.
That's what he did. That's what the Tesla coil is all about.
Well, let's go back. I don't know what either. It's because I wasn't able to put you on mute and get some things done, so I had to put the loud water on and then missed it. But we're talking about
right.
Tesla's ahead of his time, but he's a lousy businessman, and he understands about magnetic something.
Field,
and it goes through the air, which is that led to the telephone, or is this a different thing?
No, it's the whole thing got squashed.
Okay, so let's go back to the solar flares.
Flares have an effect on all magnetic fields.
Because everything is touching each other in the whole universe through magnetism?
No, because everything has a magnetic field. And if you send a gamma ray or a sun solar flare, it can have a causal effect on all magnetic fields. It's like the electromagnetic pulse. It's not the same thing, but it's very similar to that. It's an easy way to understand it.
And it has an effect because it emanates, radiates across millions of miles and powerful enough to get to a little magnetic field way far away.
Correct.
They're not interconnected, touching each other on a instant level or something.
And yet the vibration and or frequency, which is how you gauge a radiation wavelength, such as light is radiation, any effect of that, if it changes or is obscured, the field in which the sun shines on would be aberrated. An example, you have a cloud cover that blocks the sun's rays from you, and the wind's blowing or whatever, and it will be cooler than if those clouds weren't blocking those rays.
Mm.
Same thing is true with a different type of frequency. Variation of a frequency can have a different or similar effect.
So why do planets affect us, as astrology hypothesized?
Well, no, we'll explain that, and we don't really want to go exactly there, but we'll explain that. You have a setup or a system that you have mapped out, and that's the only one that you understand, okay, as a human, but that's okay.
That's astrology map, you mean?
Yeah.
Okay.
And the solar system and the Milky Way and a galaxy and the multi-galaxies, you've got all that written down. It's not exactly the way it is, but it's, you know, you used to think, the same scientific minds used to be convinced that the world was flat, and so therefore it was. But then that evolved into a different experience. Same thing with your astrology side. Okay.
But you just cited astronomy, the galaxies, the Milky Way. They aren't the way we imagine them to be.
That's correct. But they're as much as you imagine. They are as much as you imagine them to be, the same way that you once had the scientific proven hypothesis that the world indeed was flat.
Mm.
And not so terrible long ago.
Right. So the...
okay, now don't
astrology.
Don't leave.
Yeah, what about astrology?
Astrology?
It's all wrong. Why is it all wrong? The planets... because life doesn't affect us the way our present map pretends it does.
We didn't say that. We're not vindicating astrology.
I know.
We're just saying that astrologists look at Virgo rising, and they look at the different constellations as they move about in their perspective of where they are in connection with where you are on planet Earth, and they read historically what happens when those things are in that particular proximity to where the astronomer is when Galileo was looking at the stars. So that's all that's about, and there's no attention required. So we're not speaking of that, but what we are speaking of is the cyclical what your Mayans worked on all day, every day, the Mayan representation of this cycle, the circle, the infinite loop that takes place has calculatable perspective on their recorded chart. And that's what you're experiencing here, is this cycle or cyclical process. Now, the creators still have input, but you see what's happening, that your chip body and your TV body have focused great intention by giving it a great deal of attention on this solar eclipse.
Why are they giving it attention? What are they saying about it?
Well, just that people are staying in their houses and they're not having babies and they're not going outside and they're not going to get in that light and they're going to try to meditate and cleanse their souls because it is the day of the dead.
Okay, so is that happening in North America or all over the world or India? Where's all that stuff happening?
India and all over the world.
So it's like the harmonic convergence. There's a big meme been created of this.
Yes, those are very good words. It couldn't be further from the way it is, but those are very good words. Because it does anything that can multiply an individual creator's attention toward a specific thing that some may give their undivided attention regarding, absolutely has a causal effect on the participants.
Do you know
reality?
What participants in reality? Is that what you said?
No, they're participating reality.
Right. Apparently.
But see, just like you and Carolyn don't have a clue at all, and the whole thing could burn a hole all the way through the earth, and you and Carolyn wouldn't notice. Literally, they could make a super highway, a channel, through the entire middle of the world, through the 33rd parallel, and it could come out a mile from your house, and you may not even notice that it is there. Now, all of a sudden, people are going through the middle of the earth because it's a lot faster than going around it, you see.
Yeah.
And the waters can get all equalized, and there's just a great big hole, a tunnel, that you can just drop through and slip to the other side. And you guys wouldn't even notice because you aren't going to give any attention to those bodies that would activate it within your personal experience.
Right. Now, you know what I mean by the harmonic convergence?
We do, and it's not exactly that way. It's not exactly that way.
I'm referring to the event in August 87, big media publicity about some kind of harmonic convergence. And everybody got involved in it. That's what I'm saying. This solar eclipse is being participated like that?
No, not quite so much. We said we liked the words. We just said that's not how it is. When you talk about a harmonic convergence, you're talking about the new wavelength sound harmonically. You know what a harmonica is, or in harmony, where all the keys are struck at the same time, which creates a new grouping of wavelengths that have an effect on everything. That's what a harmonic convergence is, when you converge. For example, you can have a planetary convergence in which all the planets that are in their orbit line up in a straight singular line from the sun. That would be a planetary convergence. A harmonic convergence is a new, improved, well, maybe, a new combinations of keys or chords in a harmonic or a harmony sound that converges. They all come together. And that is very significant and important, but not at all of what we're talking about here. But it's a good way to explain it, just to make a nice, warm explanation of, you know, why asphalt is black and not white.
But the harmonic, what you just described as a harmonic convergence is not happening right now, which being the frequency being affected, the magma and other things.
Correct.
with that, there's a thinning of the veil and all this weird phenomena or just significance result of that. So,
well, that's good. Now, Connie's about to bust to jump in, but it's okay. We'll get you there. The individual creators are coming into their power, and it only takes one. But there are multiplicity more than one, because this magnetic field is the same things that can have an effect on the mind. Remember that fulcrum that balances and sieves every aspect of your creation?
Right.
That new place is the can have an effect that affects the human creator or their perspective of how they balance the fulcrum of their mind in the sieving process of how much of this meme that's being observed enhances, distracts, embraces the individual creator. We have a perfect example. If that's appropriate, we can't use too many because Connie will get us tangled up, but we can't do that. But
no.
When there's a full moon, more babies are born.
Okay.
And then nobody necessarily knows why. But when the moon is full, that's when the OBGYNs never take a day off or a night off. Because if they're delivering mothers, are anywhere close to that proximity many times, and it's sort of proven if you look at your charts, hospital charts, look at your charts that more babies are born when the moon is full. And less babies are born when the moon is new. Now what does that mean? Absolutely nothing. It's just that a balancing act of the fulcrum of the mind. And you could even set it up as a meme. The same way you could say that everyone dies of the flu of the swine. Well, that's not the case, but if you embrace it, you certainly can expire. So it's not a win all. It's not always, but many times it can have, in your science, recordable science, it is the conditional response. That's the way I say that. So, now, let's get back to the simple part of the magnetic field.
Mm.
Pulses, now you're having magnetic storms.
Right.
That's new. That's new.
You mean they're having new phenomena that they didn't know before?
No, they had the phenomena all along, but now they know what to call it because of what you just said about the thinning of the veil. Their hypotheses are getting better.
Mm-hmm.
Their thesis statements are getting more cohesive. They're starting to understand things that they didn't understand before. Therefore, it must be alien technology. Well, no, it's been around a long, long time. They've just noticed the bark on the trees.
Why did you just say alien technology? Was that satirical?
Yes, it was.
Okay, so they noticed something. They're not thinking it's alien technology, but they've noticed something, they've noticed it before. Why are they more accurate now? What's that got to do with the thinning of the veil?
Well, because more people have been experiencing this thinning of their reality between the connection of physical and non-physical.
Right, but the guy's naming it the geomagnetic storms. That's just a scientific term. I don't see that why that name makes them. That happens, the naming, thinning of the veil.
It doesn't, Bob. Just like anything, you announce that there are four bodies and then there are five bodies, and then now that those bodies are taking a life of their own.
Right.
People are even talking about it through threads, and it becomes just, they can accept that very easily. But you put it out there, just like you called it a magnetic storm. Somebody called it a magnetic storm. Then others get to embrace that, and then that's why then they use that terminology to explain the Bermuda Triangle, the Alaska Triangle, the Pacific place where ships, battleships, go through and don't
Why do you attribute my that or my naming of the bodies as a result of the thinning of the veil?
Because you had to have the... Well, I didn't. You did. What we said was is that someone named them as magnetic storms, and then as people embrace this terminology, then that becomes, for them, a laudable reason, good as any, because they're looking for a reason to understand something like Bermuda Triangle that they can then apply to that answerable query. Because nobody understood it before. And then all of a sudden now they start saying, oh, we can measure this. The magnetic field of the pulse is radiating at a different degree or level. And so things can be affected, and now they are not.
Was that because they could measure it that they allowed themselves to experience or use that term?
Correct. As a disturbance in the polarity or what you were calling magnetic field.
Right. So the instruments made it, the better instruments made them see something, and then that's where they came up with the theory of the magnetic storm.
Correct. The same way, and we use that example, you know, like a magnet moving a thing under a table, that magnetic field
right.
has an effect on that metal on the top of the table. So you move the magnet under the table, and the nail will follow the magnet.
The iron filing point.
Yes, exactly, exactly, yes. Precisely, like the Etch-a-Sketch thing. Very good. Okay, now, that place is not foreign, but this new dynamic all of a sudden is, and it's even having quite a stir in the spiritual aspect of the world as you know it, because India, this particular place where it's so going to be so viewable, mm-hmm. it won't be viewable because it's monsoon season and there's clouds and you're not going to see it. It'll just get red, respectively darker. It's not like it's going to be wide open so you can see it, but it doesn't matter. Those individual people have pre-established spiritual thinking thoughts regarding a solar eclipse. And many of them, because they're very entrenched in this, what you call spooky spiritual place, they're much more easily activated because of their place of their belief system. You do the same thing to Canadians and they wouldn't care or notice.
Right.
Oh, well, that's great. Good. Next case. What does that have to do with whatever's going on right now?
Mm.
Good. Right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't get stirred up over much. Does it affect my pension? No. Okay.
They're involved in the TV bodies.
Pretty much. Does this affect my way of getting a boot and getting my creature comforts and my government? Is it going to be able to take care of me? Yes. Okay. We're good. Next case. Anything else? Need me, I'll be at the beach. But where those Indians have a specific preordained notion regarding the dead, spirit world, they have a much broader, embraceable feeling place that's already been activated. And this then becomes the reason that they were looking for, which is why it's happening there. And you do realize this is the only time this is going to happen like this in this entire 21st century.
And this, the like this, is mean over India?
Yeah, well,
Is there other things happening in it?
What now? We're sorry.
Is there other things? What is special about this solar eclipse? They always come along every few years. What's special about this one?
This one won't be like this again for this entire century.
And what is this like? Describe what's going on.
A complete and total solar eclipse.
Oh, we don't usually have those, right?
You have partial eclipses, and you have partial in different aspects of like the northern hemisphere, the southern hemisphere, where it falls on the equator because of the pitch and the axis. But it hasn't happened in a very long time, and in this 21st century, it won't happen again.
Mm.
The entire century.
And so this was coming, but the thoughts of humans made it happen over India.
That was where it would have the biggest bang.
your Mayan calendar starts. They knew about the solar eclipse because of the Mayan calendar.
Who knew about it?
The scientists, the astronomers.
Couldn't they just see it with their instruments? What, they had to rely on the Mayan calendar?
That's where they got their information the first time. How did they know where to build these telescopes?
Okay.
Did they just pick a nice bluff with not a lot of trees and, oh, we'll put a Hubble telescope here. Well, no, we'll put a telescope. There's a huge one there in Nellie that's specific, and it has nothing to do with the height that it is in the air. You see, it's not like on the mountaintop, well, that one particular one is, but it's not about that. It's about capturing that perspective from there. All that's orchestrated and outlined in the old original Mayan clicks, Mayan
documents.
Yeah.
Who read those? Some scientists?
Yes.
And when did they start applying this knowledge?
Well, Galileo.
He read the Mayan documents?
No, but he vindicated the Mayan documents based on what he saw and knew. And then that all this converging, a convergence, this is the part that is right. It's not a harmonic, but there is converging going on. You had the Druids. You had all these different worlds that were separate and independent from each other in your hundreds of monkeys scenario, and they started ticking up on little dots. And they started putting the dots down on pieces of paper, and after a little while, there started to become an image within the dots.
You're talking about astronomy?
Yes. And that then becomes, this one matches that one, matches that one, matches that one, and it also happens to match the Mayan process as well. Because that was almost lost forever, but when they found it, it started giving the great shuffle. Because it was the Mayan calendar that showed them at Cape Canaveral and then running along the same parallel into Houston of where to shoot the rockets from.
You mean the Mayan calendar was used at NASA in 59?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When were they found, the Mayan documents?
Originally, it was toyed with several hundred years ago.
Okay, so what institution had them that the scientists looked at? Were able to look at it? Was it Harvard, or where do they see these? The NASA guys. How did they get access to the Mayan documents?
NORAD, Bob, NORAD.
Okay.
We gave you primers on this the other night.
That's right, you mentioned NORAD.
In your little place that you keep wanting to go that's not Area 51.
Right. But, okay, so do they teach, as I said, they don't teach this Mayan aspect in astronomy universities.
No. Where is an astronomy university, Bob?
Dalhousie, wherever you go to university, Harvard, to learn astronomy. I never heard of them, because I don't know anything about it.
But there's not any great institution of learning that their primal focus is astronomy.
Yeah, but there are schools of astronomy.
Of course there are.
And today, are they teaching the Mayan calendar in those schools?
No, they're using the Mayan calendar as the validator of their new scientific breakthrough, the newest one of the moment.
Okay, I missed your answer. I said, are they using the Mayan calendars and teaching it to the 20-year-olds who are in the classes? Are they doing that now somewhere on the planet?
No.
Oh,
but they're
no.
using Mayan information to validate.
Who's they? It must be done secretly.
God damn.
who's they?
Who are we talking about? The 20-year-olds in the class, Bob. The one that are in astronomy U that we don't know where he is.